Well, good morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Might be a familiar one to you, but I hope that this morning that we can look at it, we can see how the Bible, the Word of God, is applicable to our lives, how we can change to be more like it and more like Christ through reading and understanding the Word of God and asking Him to help us with that. But like Pastor said, we're headed to Peru, church planting missionaries to Peru. And it's just a blessing. This is the first time we've been in Michigan. And we had a wonderful stay last night in a beautiful cabin out on a lake that we couldn't see because it was all covered in snow. We are really thankful to be here with our two girls, Eden and Hosanna, and my wife, Allie. I'll share with you a little bit about my testimony and how I grew up and all of that. I'll give you a flyby if you missed Sunday school today, just so you can get to know us a little bit and how the Lord kind of brought us to where we are today. And so my father was actually raised Amish in Ohio, so he was the youngest in a family of 10. He had 10 siblings, and so he grew up in that system. My dad, he got saved a little bit later in life, and so he ended up running off to Florida, found a little Baptist church down there eventually, and ended up getting saved down there. And so through the course of all of that, my father getting saved and my mother getting saved, I was raised in a Christian home, and so it was a huge blessing for me. And please don't take for granted if you've been raised in a Christian home, if you've got parents that love the Lord, that is a huge blessing in your life, and the Lord will really use that for you. But I took that for granted. I had so many opportunities to hear the gospel, to understand the gospel, to ultimately to reject the gospel is what I did. And so the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but He is long-suffering to usward, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that that was true in my life. I believe that the Lord was patient with me, that He had mercy on me. He did not give me what I deserved, but he was patient with me until I came to know Him as my Lord and Savior when I was 18 years old. And so from that time, I got a chance to go to Peru and to see all the need that's in that country. I got to see all kinds of people who grew up with a vastly different upbringing than myself, that didn't have the blessing of growing up in a Christian home many times, and just the opportunity that is there to be able to take the gospel to Peru, to be able to train people for the ministry, train young men and women that would be able to minister to other men and women and plant churches there in the country. And so we're just so excited that God's given us the opportunity and the privilege to serve Him in that way. And it really is a privilege for us to be here with you this morning. So like I said, turn your Bible to Psalm 100. I'd like to read this passage here and then pray with you before we look at it. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time You've given us this morning. Thank You for Your word that we can read from it, that we can understand what it is that You have to say to us. I just pray that You would give us the humility and the understanding and the conviction to hear what it is that You have to say to us today, that You would use me to communicate Your truth, but that we would hear what You have to say, and that we would change our lives according to that, so that we'd be more like You, and we'd be more ready to serve You with our lives. We love You so much, and we're so thankful for all that You've done for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Psalm 100. This has got to be my favorite psalm, and I hope that after today it'll be yours as well. But verse number 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Right, and I was so impressed that I came into this church, and there was a whole orchestra strung out across the front of the church. That is incredible. I have never heard anything like that before. And so you guys are blessed that you get to hear that kind of that music and all of that every week. You get to hear that. But verse number 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so even more than just the songs that we sing and the things that we do, our lives should be demonstrating this. Our lives should be such that our lives speak of the joy that God's given us. You know, when we walk around in the street, people ought to see us and think, there's something different about them, right? Have you ever met one of those Christians that seem to be just a little bit over the top? Like, they're just a little bit too much, right? I've got this friend that everything that happens to him, it doesn't matter what it is, everything that happens to him, he finds a way to flip it so that he can praise God in that situation, right? So the other day he was sitting at a stop sign and this car came up and rear-ended him and smashed into him. And what's our normal reaction, right? Like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Now I got to get insurance involved. I got to call the police. I got to talk to this guy. I got to hope that I don't have a concussion, right? But he immediately, as soon as this happened, he started a Facebook video and said, guys, I just got in a car accident, but praise the Lord, I got to share the gospel with this guy that hit me, and he's going to come to church next week. And like, normal people would think, you're crazy. Like, why? That doesn't make any sense. Or like, you know, the other day he was driving down the interstate and he got a flat tire, right? And what do we think? We think, oh, great, now I'm going to be late. I'm going to have to deal with this flat tire. But what does he think? You know, praise the Lord, I get to share the gospel with a tow truck driver today. I would have never got that opportunity if I didn't blow out a tire, right? And so we look at that and we think, man, that's a crazy way to live. But that ought to be characteristic of our lives, right? The Bible says that we're a peculiar people. And I think sometimes we have a lesson to learn from people like that. That live their lives and just ooze out all of this joy that the gospel has brought to their life. So how is your walk with God today? Right? How is the gospel that's changed your life, how is that playing out in your life today? Verse number 2 gives us a very important instruction here of how that should play out in our life. Verse number 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Right, and this is distinctly different from serving the Lord to try and earn favor with God, from serving the Lord to try and make yourself look better to other people. This says, serve the Lord with gladness. Right, so number one, are you serving? Right, this verse instructs us that we ought to be serving God, right? The Bible tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we've been bought with a price. Right, and so the price that God has paid, that Christ paid on the cross for our salvation, was a great one. But he hasn't just saved us so that we can sit and soak up all of the blessings that he's given us. We've been saved that we can serve. Right, so we've been saved for a purpose and for a reason. It reminds me of in Genesis chapter 12. In verse number 2, God is talking to Abraham, and he is explaining to him all these blessings that he's going to give him, right? All of these things that he's going to do in his life. And in verse number 2, it describes it a little bit here, but there's a key point at the end. It says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. But get this, here's the reason, and thou shalt be a blessing. And so all of these things that God's done in our life are not just for us to hold on to and to sit on. Right? The things that God has blessed us with and done in our life have been done so that we would be a blessing to others. And so God has not given us these things just for ourselves, but so that we would be a blessing. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of this. Right? Philippians 2 describes to us exactly what he did in setting aside all of his rights, all of the things that were due him. Right? He humbled himself. Even under the cross, he laid aside all of these things that were due him, all the honor and the glory and the power, all of that. He set it aside and he came to this earth and he took on the form of a servant. He could have taken on the form of a king and ruled over the whole earth and he would have been justified in doing so. But he came as a servant. The book of Mark tells us that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so if our God, if Jesus Christ came to this earth and the thing that he did was serve others, then that ought to be what we do. That our resolve ought to be to do exactly what Jesus did. And if he's not ashamed and he's not bashful to wash the feet of the disciples, then we ought to come in the church and open the door and say, what can I do to serve other people? What can I do to serve these people around me? And walk out of church and say, what can I do to serve people in my community? Right? That ought to be our attitude. We ought to want to serve because of all that's been done for me. We ought to be looking for ways to serve God in our lives. But number 2 that we see here in verse number 2 is not just the importance of serving. Right? Because serving God is very important. It's critical that we serve God with our lives. But that's the action. Right? That's what we do on the outside. But the reason why we do it is so important. And the motive with which we do it is so important. So not only does verse number 2 say, serve the Lord, but it gives us a little piece here. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Right? How many people serve the Lord and they do it with a grimace on their face? Right? I'm just going to clench my teeth and I'm going to serve God. Right? No matter how much it stinks, no matter how much I get hurt, I'm just going to serve God today. I look so happy. Right? No, serve the Lord with gladness. People, it's not all about all the things that we do on the outside that everybody sees. It's about the heart with which we do it. We ought to have a heart that's filled with gladness for what Christ has done for us. Our attitude matters. And if you're a parent in here, you know that. That when you tell your, I'll say 4-year-old because my daughter's 2 and she's perfect. But when you tell your 4-year-old to pick up all her toys, and she chucks them across the room into the toy box and slams the lid and stomps out and slams the door. You just think, how sweet is she? Thank you for doing what I told you to do. Right? Is that your attitude with your child that just did that to you? No. You're like that little crazy person. Right? There's no way that's my kid. No. The attitude behind it is critically important. And so if your child is outwardly obeying, they're doing the action that you asked them to do, but their attitude is horrible, then that's not what we're interested in. And neither is God. God doesn't want us to just go through the motions and play church and do the Christian life. He's not interested in all of that if our actions don't line up with our motivations in our heart. It makes me think of Jeremiah talking to the people of Israel that they're burning all these sacrifices to God. And God tells them, just stop it. Just stop burning these sacrifices to me because you think they're so sweet. You think you're doing so much for me. But they don't smell good at all to me because I know your heart is far from me. I know that you're turned to idols. I know that you're not truly worshiping me. So you might as well not even do it. And so our heart and our attitude, our motivation behind serving God is absolutely critical. We see this in the attitude of the apostles in Acts chapter number 5. Where they go out into the city and into the synagogue and they're preaching and teaching the gospel, right? And the leaders of the city pull them aside and they say, listen, you've got to stop. You can't be preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus any longer. And they sent them out from them. And what is their reaction to that? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 5, it says that they rejoiced to be counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. How often is that our attitude, right? That even if we do the right thing, even if we go and we talk to our neighbor about the gospel and they slam the door in our face, how often are we just rejoiced to be counted worthy to suffer for Jesus? That it's a joy that even if things don't go our way or they don't play out, that it's a joy in our life to serve our God. The end of verse number 2 here says, come before his presence with singing. So when you come before God, when you approach God, how does that look for you? Right? So many times I fear that when we come before God in prayer, it almost looks like a little kid coming to Santa Claus at Christmas time. Right? God, I want you to give me this, and I want you to give me this, and I want you to give me this, and I want it now, and I want you to give me this. Right? How many times is our prayer life like that with God? That we completely forget who it is that we're talking to. We're talking to the God of heaven who took on flesh and came down and paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. There should be so much more that we should come before God with praise and not just with requests. And he wants us to ask things of him, but it shouldn't be the only thing that we do. Our approach to God should be with praise. If you're having trouble thinking about things that you can praise God for, just consider the attributes of God. Right, that he's holy. And think about how different that is from us. Amen. Right? Think about how holy and pure and good our God is. And how he's willing to reconcile with filthy and unrighteous sinners like us. Right? That the Bible tells us that he didn't wait for us to clean up our act and to come to him, but that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so think about the God that did that for you, that paid that price for you, when you were in your trespasses and your sins. We serve a God like that, that loves us that much.
Amen.
We serve a God that's powerful, right? Everybody reads through the Bible. When you start reading through the Bible in a year, Genesis in January, right? So we've all read this recently of creation, right? The God that spoke the earth and the universe into existence. That's hard for us to fathom and to imagine, but our God is just that powerful. And so when we come before Him, we ought to recognize these things. We ought to think about who it is that we're coming before, and we ought to come before Him with praise.
Amen.
Verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. So our God is, He's the Creator. He's the one that made us. And so often we're tempted to forget that. We're tempted to think that, you know, the American dream of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, of I made myself who I am today, I worked really hard, I've been putting in 70-hour weeks, and I've done all of these things to put myself in the position where I am. But we don't realize that everything that we have is a gift from God.
Amen.
We don't realize that there's no amount of work that I can do that can build me up. It's all what God has done and has given to you as a gift.
Amen.
He's created us, and He's created us for a purpose. It says that we are sheep of His pasture. That He's the shepherd. When I was a little boy, my dad came home one time, and he was carrying this big black garbage bag. And all the kids gathered around. We weren't really sure what it was, so we were all guessing what it might be. And he brought it into the kitchen, and he opened it up, and it was a little lamb. And my dad had bought us a lamb as a pet for the time being, and dinner a little further down the road. But Maxwell was my friend, right? That was his name, Maxwell. I got a picture of me sitting on top of Maxwell, just holding on to him and riding around the backyard. But one thing that I learned in taking care of and befriending a sheep is that they can't really do anything for themselves, right? The Bible tells us all the time about how shepherds are leading sheep into green pastures, and how they're taking care of them from danger. And we read about David and protecting the flock from bears and lions and all of these things. But the sheep really have no defense or provision for themselves. Right, and I think it's a perfect example that Scripture uses here, that He is our shepherd, and we're the sheep of His pasture. He does everything for us and provides everything, so we ought to remember that He's the one who made us, and we're here to serve Him. Colossians 1:16 gives us the purpose for which God made us. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him."
Amen.
So everything on this earth, including you and me, was created for the praise and the worship and to glorify God.
Amen.
If you're a believer today, you understand this. You know that He's saved you from your sins, and He's given you a purpose. If you're not a believer here today, can I encourage you to just think on these things? Can I explain to you that I was in the exact same spot that you're at today? That I heard the gospel so many times in my life, and I rejected it so many times. And there was a sense of purposelessness in my life. That I didn't understand, why am I here? What are we doing here? And when you talk to so many people, that's the response that you get, right? No direction and no purpose in life. But what I didn't understand is Colossians 1:16, that I was created for a purpose. I just wasn't living that purpose. I was created for Christ and by Him. I didn't understand that. I didn't know Christ at the time. And so if I could today just explain to you that you were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason. And that is to serve and to praise and to honor Christ. And He's made a way for you to be reconciled to Him today. That you're separated from Him by your sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Right? That's what we earn. Right? So when I was a 14-year-old, I got a job and I made minimum wage. Right? How proud were you to make like $7 an hour? That was pretty exciting. I made minimum wage. That was what I earned for the work that I did. And so the wages of sin, the payment, what you earned, what you get after all that sin is death. But there's an important part to that. The second part of that verse is so key. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so that's offered to you today. That you can exchange. You can say, here are all these things that I've done and all this wickedness and sin, and say, this has led me to death. And Christ has offered today to you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He's done so much for us. And can you just think for a moment that the God that, you know, the Bible tells us that we were once enemies with God. The God that I was once enemies with, that I used to go against and live contrary to, now calls me his son. And so we're incredibly blessed, and we've been created for a purpose. Verse number 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So when we come before God, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Yeah. Right? We read this verse at Thanksgiving, and we all go around the table, and we say what we're thankful for. But this ought to be every day. This is not a once a year, right before I shove my face full of turkey and take a nap on the couch. Like, this ought to be the characteristic of our life, is being thankful to God. Because he has done so much for us. We've talked about it, the salvation that he offers us. We've talked about the purpose that he's given us, but not only that, the practical ways that plays out in our life, in the ways that he transforms us and makes us a new creature. Right? I used to have desires that were sinful, and I used to participate in things that were sinful, and those are the things that I wanted. But God gave me a new heart. He gave me new desires when I trusted him. And then I wanted to serve God. I wanted to get to know him more. I wanted to serve others. This morning I told a story about a man named Juan. And Juan was a Peruvian man who I got to meet while I was there. But Juan grew up, and his life and his testimony in the community, that he was the community drunk. Right? He was the town drunk. And so there was a missionary that started a church there. And Juan would oftentimes on Saturday nights, he would often go out and get so drunk that he would pass out somewhere along the road. And it just happened that he would pass out in front of this church that was started there. And so the missionary would come in the morning and get ready for service, and he would see him there. Instead of getting upset or thinking that this was an inconvenience for him, he would serve the Lord with gladness, right? He would pick him up, and he would help him home. He would share the gospel with him. And one day, Juan got saved. Juan heard the gospel, and he trusted Christ. And it transformed his life. He started to live a life that was pleasing to God. And it affected the whole community. More people came to know Christ, and more people heard the gospel because they saw what happened in Juan's life. And now today, Juan is the pastor of that church in Peru that he once passed out drunk in front of. And so God is transforming lives. And that's what he does, right? He transformed mine. He transformed Juan's, and I trust today that if you're a believer, that he's transformed your life as well. And so God has done so much for us. We have so much to be thankful for. So we've seen who our God is here in this passage and how we should praise him. But let's look, if that's not enough reason to praise him, verse number 5 gives us 3 ways of why the Bible says we should praise God. Psalm 100, verse number 5, for the Lord is good, amen. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. So number 1, God is good. Right? Despite all of my circumstances and the things that are going on in my life, and even if everything feels like it's crashing down around me, God's still in control. God is still good, and I can know that based on the Word of God. And so I think of Job and all of the things that, all of the junk that happened in his life, right? Everything seemed to be going well, and he had this close walk with God, and all of a sudden, everything comes crashing down. And his friends are telling him that he must ascend. His wife's telling him, curse God and die. And he, through all of this, says that he's just not going to give up his integrity. He's not going to go against the God who he knows is good and faithful. And that ought to be our attitude as well. That we understand that I may not understand fully right now all the things that are going on around me. But I can trust and I can know that based on the Word of God, that he is good and that he's in control.
Amen.
The second thing we see here is that his mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
Thank God for his mercy. Right? Thank God that I don't get what I deserve. Because I deserve a lot of things. And grace and mercy from the Lord are not some of them. Right? All of the things that I've done, I haven't earned that. He's given it to me freely, despite what I deserve. I'd like to encourage you today that if you're in a place where you feel like you're too far gone from God, if you feel like you've done too much wrong, or you feel like you're too far from God, that he can't use you in your life, the Bible says here in verse number 5 that his mercy is everlasting. And that means that he's got enough for you. That means that he's got enough to cover all of the things that you've done, all of the things that you've done to separate you from him. He's got enough mercy for you. And the third thing we see here in verse number 5 is that his truth endureth to all generations. We can trust God's word, right? He's given us the privilege of having his word that we can read every day. And that same God that in Genesis 1 that spoke the universe and spoke the world into existence, he speaks to us through his word. And that we can read and we can have fellowship with God through his word and prayer. And so despite all of the things that are going on around us, with politics, with relationships, and all of those things that are here today, gone tomorrow, always changing, God's word is the same. And we can trust it. We can build our lives on it. So why is this passage relevant to missions, right? Why does this matter for a missionary? If we look back at verse number 1, we'll see. Psalm 100, verse number 1, says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so our God is so big, and he's so great, he's so powerful, and he's so deserving of praise.
Amen.
From all people, right? Not just from me. And not just from you, but from all people all over the world. So we serve a God that deserves praise from everywhere. And it's our job, it's our mission to go and to tell them, this is why you should praise God. He'll change your life. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you eternal life. And you ought to praise him because he's good and his mercy endureth forever. So we serve a God that is worthy of our praise and the praise of those all around the world. And that ought to be our mission, to go and to tell them why they should praise God. So this morning, if we look at this passage and we consider our life, what needs to change in your life personally so that you will bring more praise to God? So that you'll live a life that lines up with this passage here. Maybe you've lost your joy in serving God, right? You're gritting your teeth and you're just trying to get through it, but there's just no joy in serving God anymore. Maybe this morning you can cry out to the Lord and ask him to renew the joy that you once had in serving him, and that you wouldn't serve him as a burden or anything like that, but that you would serve him because he's just given you so much joy in doing so. Or maybe today you're facing difficulty. Something's happened in your life and you're tempted to blame God or to be upset with God or to think that somehow he's done you wrong. But I'll tell you this morning that based on verse number 5, the Lord is good. He's done so much in our lives that even if it doesn't make sense right now, we can trust that the Lord is good. There's so many things that have happened in my life and in your life, I'm sure, that a couple of years ago we would have looked at and we would have thought, how in the world is God going to use this? And a few years later, you look back and you think, man, I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for that situation that I hated so much back then. And so if you're in one of those situations today, let me just encourage you that God is good. And he's working all things together for good to those that love him.
Amen.
Maybe this morning you've lost your thankfulness to God. It's so easy for us to, you know, we get saved and we're right in that moment and we think that all of the things that he saved us from and all the things that he saved us unto, and we're so excited about all that God's done in our life. And over the course of months and weeks and years, maybe that excitement and that joy starts to dwindle. And so maybe today you just need to ask the Lord to renew your thankfulness to Him for all that He's done in your life. And when we do these things, when we align ourselves with the Word of God, when we have joy in serving Him, it's going to cause us to share that with other people. I spoke to a missionary in the Dominican Republic one time, Dominican Republic, and I asked him about evangelism in his area and what they do for outreach and why, you know, people weren't getting involved. And he said, you know what? I think that the reason that people don't share Jesus and don't share the gospel with other people is that they just don't really have a lot of joy in their own salvation. They just really aren't that interested in sharing something with someone else that they really don't have that much joy in themselves. And so this morning, I'd ask you to ask the Lord to renew that joy that He gave you and to think on these things, because we have so much reason to be joyful in our walk with God. And so just ask Him to point those things out to you this morning. Sometimes when the Lord shows things to us, it's easy when we're in a church service to kind of to think about those things and think, okay, I need to get that right, and I need to change this, and I need to tweak this a little bit. And then we walk out the door, and we go to lunch, and we take a nap, and completely forget about everything that, you know, the Lord dealt with on us with that. It's kind of like if you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden a cop car pulls out behind you, so you straighten up, 10 and 2, turn the radio down, you know, make sure you're staying in between the lines, and you got cruise control on. You're so careful to have everything just right. And then as soon as that cop pulls off behind you, you slouch back down, one hand on the wheel, window down, swerving all over the road. You just, it's almost like that sometimes with the way that we deal with how God deals with us when we hear His word preached. Is that we hear it and we think, oh man, that's something I need to pay attention to. And then as soon as we walk away, we just let it go. And so today I would ask you that if the Lord's dealing with you on something, that you wouldn't let it be a fleeting conviction, that it wouldn't be something that would just go away as soon as it came, but that you would ask the Lord to help you with that so that you can bring Him more praise in your life and that others around you would bring Him praise as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your word, how You care for us, how You love us. Lord, I pray that we would walk out of this room differently than we came in, that we would understand all that You've done for us, and that it would change our lives. I pray that You would use this morning, and that we would serve You with gladness, that we would serve You more with joy in our life, and that others around us would come to know You and would praise You as well, because You're deserving of all of that praise. We love You, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Bow with me once more, please. If you're able, would you stand? Are you here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed? Are you here this morning and you need the gladness back? You need the gladness back. You need the trust back. Jesus said, without Me you can do not a few things. He said, without Me you can do nothing. Do you need the gratitude back? The thankfulness. God's given us His word to share with us how to do it. Now we need to make the decision to do it. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the organ to play. The song we'll sing in a few moments. When she begins to play, would you take a step and ask God to renew these things in you? To renew these things in you. If you know Christ as your Savior, God wants these things to be full in you. The gladness, the trust, the thankfulness. When she begins to play, would you step out, ask God to help you? The altar's open this morning. Lord, would You renew those things in me? If that's where you're at this morning, let the Lord lead you as she begins to play.